and welcome back to another episode of Quarantine with Josie and Mac. Let's call up Mac. Hey, Mac.
Hello. All right, what's going on?
Well, we just started the podcast, as you know, so let's just dive right into things with our Rhode Island update. So do you want to go first, or you can just...
So I don't have much. I want to update you guys. My mom has not gotten her tests back yet, so we don't know the results of that yet. I went on a bike ride today, or a rollerblade today, and I saw a lot more people with masks on, so I think starting to get more and more people are wearing masks.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, unfortunately, right before I came up to do this, my dad informed me that the first person in Newport has passed away from the coronavirus, which is really sad.
It is. It's really sad. It becomes more real every day, I feel. All right, so I am on livescience.com, a little different from our normal WPRI.com. And just for an update, in Rhode Island, there are currently 3,251 confirmed cases of COVID-19. And as we told you yesterday, 80 deaths. So I don't know if that has changed. You know, it's the thing about this is it's so like rapid. So this is from 5:50 p.m. April 14th. But it's April 15th now, so, you know.
Probably different.
It's probably different. And so, sorry that it's not as much of a live source. I should have checked that before. But, you know, it is really hard with this because it does change daily and even hourly. Like, I could listen to Gina Raimondo talk at 5 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock the numbers could be drastically different. So, I'm guessing it's more than that. Check it out. All right. But this is still true. The governor announced a voluntary phone tracking program that would make it easier to trace the contacts of people who test positive for the virus. So that's really interesting because it's similar to, I know my brother got a message. I don't know if I read it. Like he had to do, his daughters came back from England and they had to do like a whole like phone app thing. I think in Hong Kong that was mandatory, but it is a cool idea if you're comfortable with it to do that, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, one more thing. On Thursday, April 9th, Governor Raimondo announced a new executive order allowing Department of Health officials to fine people caught violating isolation or quarantine orders. And the amount of each fine has not been finalized, but will be in the hundreds of dollars, according to the Providence Journal. So that's what you got to do. And I heard about that. I don't know if it was in Rhode Island, but I heard about it in another state that they were starting to do that. And honestly, I think it makes sense. I think that you've got to start making those, taking those precautions, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Got to make some sort of punishment so people actually listen. Cause obviously just telling people to do it isn't enough. So
Yeah, exactly. All right, so for my interview today, I actually interviewed my brother-in-law, but before we get into that, I just wanted to, I'm back on WPRI.com, you know, the one we love the most, because I felt bad that I just gave you an update that was not the right day. So April 15th, 2020 at 5:52 p.m. This is the RI COVID-9 briefing. And there are actually 7 more people dead. So that's 87 total. People have died from the coronavirus, not 80, as I said earlier. And there are 278 new cases. It is really sad to think that overnight 7 people have passed away, and it's like in other states it's so much more than that, but like I always think of Rhode Island as such like a little, well, it is the smallest state, so it's really sad that that's happening. Hopefully we will get out of this soon, though. We just got to think positive. All right. Mm-hmm. For my interview, as I said before, I interviewed my brother-in-law who works for Nordstrom. And we basically just talk fashion and how it's been affected by the coronavirus. I think it's great because it's so different than anything Mac and I have talked about on the pod. So let's get right into that. Hi, guys. So it's just me, Josie, doing the interview portion of this segment today. And I'm interviewing my brother-in-law, Sam Lobin, who works for Nordstrom. I can't say I know his official title. I'll ask him when I call him. But we're basically just going to talk about how the fashion industry has been affected by the coronavirus to kind of get a completely different view on all of this. So yeah, I'm going to call him now. Hi.
Hi, Jay.
You're on the podcast.
How are you?
Good. So do you want to just introduce yourself?
Okay. I'm Sam. I'm Josie's brother-in-law. What else do you want me to include?
Like your role in Nordstrom.
Okay. I work for Nordstrom, the department store group. I'm the vice president of designer ready-to-wear and new concepts.
Nice. All right. So for the interview, I basically just want to talk about how the fashion industry has been affected by the coronavirus and also just like what it's been like, you know, working and all of that type of thing.
Okay. There's a lot in there.
Yeah, you know, brief summary.
I guess both fashion and retail have been pretty heavily affected overall. There's a lot of people. I mean, in short, we closed all of our stores, which are 360 stores, like a month ago. And we do about 70% of our business in those stores. So the website's still up and running, but 70% of our business is not up and running. So that's pretty heavy going. And it's the same for, I mean, essentially everyone out there. So there's no department stores open, there's no small boutique fashion businesses open. It's really just people's e-commerce and dot-com businesses that are operating. So literally, if you work in fashion at any level, you've been impacted because retail's been impacted, there's nothing being produced, cloth isn't being made, like all the fabric mills that make the actual cloth that all clothes are made of, all of those are kind of shut down in Italy. So really, like, the whole thing's at a complete standstill. Mm-hmm. So there you go. It's there's a pretty rosy picture.
Yeah. So how do you, so is everything on your website sort of just like all you have left and you're not going to keep making, like, if you can't keep making things, what do you do?
So typically, we buy product about 6 months before it actually delivers to us. So we have like orders coming through. So we've been having to like manage through that. But we have, like, because we have such a big business, we have quite a lot of inventory anyway. So we're really just selling the inventory that we already had at the moment. And that's what most retailers are doing. I think what becomes tricky is how you plan ahead. Because to be honest, the only certain thing right now is that no one really knows what's next. Mm-hmm. No one really knows when, like, stores will reopen or where this whole thing will pass. And also what it will look like when it does pass, because there's one thing to open the stores, but there's another thing for people to actually go out and go shopping, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, when are you going to be comfortable being in a big crowded space again?
Yeah.
Because of everything that's going on with social distancing and when that stops. So it's all a big unknown at the moment.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And adjusting to working from home has been kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask next about, like, what adjustments you've had to make working from home and, like, if you've had to like, I know you travel a lot, so, like, what that's been like.
Well, I guess first thing is I moved in with you.
Yeah.
So that's been a highlight, obviously, of the whole debacle.
I'm pretty used to working remotely and working with teams that are all over the place, either in Europe or between the East and West Coast. But still, doing that like day in, day out, being sat at one desk, bouncing between digital video conference meetings, which are pretty much like on the hour or on the half hour constantly all day. I mean, I guess you see me, but I basically sit at one desk from 9 till 7 every day. And I'm pretty constant the whole way through, apart from when I can steal half an hour to go and make some lunch. It's pretty intense. So you've got like a completely different way of working in that regard, insofar as like literally everyone is in the same position there. Oftentimes, some teams will be within a normal office setting surrounded by people. Some teams won't. But this is like everyone's working from home. That's brand new in a situation that no one has ever worked through before. Like no one's ever been in a crisis quite like this. So there's a lot of new stuff causing stress and anxiety, but we're getting through it. What I would say is luckily I'm perched overlooking the pond, overlooking the ocean. So I'm a particularly big fan of my view. And on sunny days, that makes things a lot better, because I watch the swans and watch the hawks and watch the way the wind hits the pond and stuff when I'm having stressful conversations.
That's your highlight?
Exactly. That, you know, zen me out a bit.
And okay, so just to close it off, as of now, have any big like fashion shows or anything like that been cancelled?
Yeah. So I was in Milan when everything kicked off for the women's full 20 runway shows, and then I cancelled my travel to Paris for the women's 20, the first full 20 runway shows, which were due to happen like the very beginning of March. So I've personally cancelled. I travel like at least a week a month. I can't remember the last time I was in one place for this much time, which is great for me because, you know, I'm with family, which is lovely. But the men's spring 21 runway shows in the summer have all been cancelled. So Milan Fashion Week got cancelled, Paris Fashion Week got cancelled, New York pre-collections got cancelled. The next run of shows potentially would be September, which would be the women's spring 21 runway shows, which right now haven't been cancelled, but there's a lot of conversation. There was actually a Vogue Global Conversations. It's a big like web, I think they call it a webinar, that was on this morning at 9 a.m. And some of the, a lady called Nicole Phelps, who's the director of Vogue Fashion Runway. She was talking to some designers and a CEO of a big French company called Balenciaga about what would happen. And they were discussing when they thought fashion shows might happen and what they might look like. So yes, some have been cancelled, and no one really knows what's going to happen. Some people don't think that there'll be any more shows this year and it will start again next year. Some people think that there will be some in September, but again, like everything, no one really knows.
Yeah. I can imagine planning for all of that would be a big, like a risky move. And is it a big loss in money? Like do the fashion shows make a lot of money?
Well, in short, yes, but probably not directly in the way that you think. So a big fashion show costs like $1 million to put on. It's a huge marketing investment. But it is also the big marketing investment of how those major brands push out their big seasonal messages. So if you think, actually, it was pretty interesting. A guy called Cedric Charbit, I forget how to pronounce his last name, but he's the CEO of Balenciaga, which is a like super cool big fashion brand based out of Paris. And he said that any given fashion show, for them specifically, they have 600 people that go and attend the show in person. But when you add up the like the media coverage, so like all the magazines, all the Instagram shots, all of the Twitter mentions, you basically talk to 10 million people.
Oh, wow.
Through the fashion show.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So even, So even though there's only 600 people in person watching it, all of the social interactions, and they call it media impressions,
mm-hmm.
All the coverage you get means that you actually talk to 10 million people. So by not doing a show, you save $1 million, but you lose the ability to talk to 10 million people about the latest bag, sneaker,
mm-hmm.
like runway look. So yeah. I think there's a lot of brands probably running the maths right now on, and all of that is just the economic side of it, right? Like a very real consideration is health. Like I think people are genuinely thinking about what it means to put 600 people in a room together, because you know, right now that's a bit of a no-no. And then also there's this bigger question about people flying all over the world to go to fashion shows, and there's a it makes sense from a financial perspective, but there's a sustainability question, health question. There's a lot of
factors.
A lot of flux right now. There's a lot of big questions, which the fashion business is laying on itself in light of this.
I can imagine. All right. I don't know if there's any like final key points you think you want to throw in, but if not, I feel like that we covered everything that we needed to there.
Why don't I say hi to Harry and Poppy?
There you go.
On radio.
That's great. Look, now it's like you're like, this is a famous podcast and you're like shouting them out, you know, with exactly. all our viewers.
That's, it is, I thought. No?
Basically famous.
The biggest podcast in Newport.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Thank you so much. I'll see you at dinner.
Bye, Joe.
Bye. All right, that was really good. I always think it's so awesome when we're able to get like completely different perspective about like a completely different category. I don't think Mac and I have ever talked about fashion on this podcast. But like I always say, these different interviews only go to show just how like broadly this coronavirus is affecting every single part of life that you can imagine. So that was great. All right. That was such a great interview. I'm so excited for you to listen to it, Mac.
Yeah, I can't wait. Sam's a great guy. I'm sure he has some interesting things to say. So I'm excited.
All right. So we are just going to get right into our questions. I just wanted to remind you, something I put in place yesterday was the idea of asking the question, what's the best takeout you've had in quarantine? And you can answer via voicemail to the phone number 401-569-6287. We thought it'd be fun to sort of hear your voice, because a lot of times we do read your answers, which is also awesome, but we thought that'd be a fun thing to do. So if you're interested, please do that. For our questions today, they are from Mantelligence.com, and they're actually would you rather questions to sort of mix it up a bit. So let's get right into it. Would you rather not shower for a month or eat the same meal every day for a month?
Well, in the current situation of quarantine, it would be not shower for a month.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, like, all right, I'm stuck in my house. Who really cares if I shower? Like, and eating the same meal every day would get really old.
Yeah.
But regular, real life, going outside and, like, going to class and work and stuff, it would have to be the same meal every day just because out of respect for others.
Yeah. It also depends for me, like, this season. Like, summer, I feel like I could get away with not showering for a month.
Yeah.
But any other season, I'd have to take the food. Alrighty. And speaking of not showering, so I heard this thing about how not washing your hair for like a while is really good for it. This is more for girls, I'm guessing. I mean,
it's healthy, yeah.
It's really healthy. And so I didn't wash my hair for a week. And it was like, I mean, I normally have really greasy hair, so I'm trying to train my hair. Like during school, I shower every day. So I'm trying to train it to like not be able to go shower, not wash it for like 3 days and it not be super greasy. So it's a fun thing to try right now. Like I would like put a dot on the calendar every time I didn't wash my hair. And now is totally the time to do it. By the way, I also dyed my hair pink. It's very not like it's super temporary. It'll go out in like one or two shampoos, I think. But it's kind of fun, you know, something fun to do right now.
You and every other girl in the world dyed their hair.
I know, I'm not original, am I? Oh, right.
Still fun.
Yeah, still fun, though. Would you rather go to space or to the bottom of the ocean?
Space.
Space?
Yeah, I just think, I don't know, going to, like, the moon or something. Although, no one has really been to, like, the bottom,
bottom.
But, I don't know, just being under all that water would probably skeeve me out. I mean, being in space would, too, but I think it would be cooler, better views.
It would be really cool. I think in the sense of being scared, space might be better for me. But I would probably get really sick, like motion sickness from the rocket. I mean, in both senses. But I've always wanted to see, like, the ocean is such a vast thing. Like, we have not discovered so much of the ocean, and that's so cool to me. It's like, it is literally on Earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just think the bottom of the ocean would just be so dark.
Dark. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe there'd be, like,
looking at Earth.
It's true. Like, it's true. Perspective. Without those logistics, I'd say the bottom of the ocean, but you have to take those into consideration, so I'd have to say, because you would not see anything. It's pitch black down there.
Yeah.
So. Alrighty. Next question. Would you rather live in a... Okay, so it says country, but I'm going to change it to, like, always be. Would you rather always be too hot all the time or freezing cold all the time? So, like, a little too hot, like, so hot you're uncomfortable or so cold you're uncomfortable?
Cold.
Cold?
Just because I hate, like, feeling, like, sweaty and, like, gross like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can cover yourself and stuff, but, like, when you're too hot.
No, but if you're always cold, like, it's, like, body cold. Like, you lay around the blankets.
I know, but I'm saying, like, at least you're not, like, your clothes aren't sticking to you and, like...
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, so
that one's hard for me because, like, I feel like in the winter I normally answer too hot, but then in the summer I say too cold because there is something about, like, being too hot that just makes you feel gross.
Yeah.
But cold is also, like, I can't fall asleep when I'm really cold.
I can't fall asleep when I'm really hot.
True, true. All right, that's a tough one. Okay, so I thought that was some fun questions. It might not be
ask one of those on Instagram.
Yeah, it might not be as fun of a one to read off for our Instagram because every answer will be one or the other.
Yeah, we'll just find the majority and say most people.
Yeah, we'll say, oh, good idea, Mac. Look at you. All right, let's get to our quotes. I'll go first. Yeah. So my quote is from The Hunger Games because The Hunger Games series is one of my favorite book series. And if you haven't read it, even if you've watched it, if you haven't read it, please do. It's super awesome. It's got a little, because I'm not normally like an action person, but it's got the right amount of action, the right amount of romance, the right amount of like creativeness all blended into just great. Okay. So read it. Anyways, the quote is, "Hope is the only thing stronger than fear." And that's perfect for right now because, you know, you may be scared, but as long as you just keep that hope, you got to keep that sense of hope to keep on moving forward. Woo!
Heck yeah. So my quote is from Robin Williams because I watched Good Will Hunting the other day.
Oh, great. Such a good movie. Classic, great movie.
And Robin Williams was just a great guy.
So, oh my gosh, you know, brings me to tears when he, as the therapist, tears. So good.
Yeah. Fantastic. So he said, no matter what people tell you, words and ideas can change the world. That's just an inspiration, you know?
Yeah.
Words change the world, so.
It is so true. What you say, what you don't say, all of it, very important. So in that sense, remember to reach out to your friends right now because just a little hello text could make their day.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Stay safe.